Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1939, Jacqueline Tyson Hope.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a reception use, in example, weddings, birthdays, retirements, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 6.49 acres, more or less, lying south of Bailey's Landing Drive, 6/10 of a mile west of Route 487A, also known as Beagle Club Road, and also references tax map ID number 232-10, parcel 8.02. For the benefit of the record, I don't know if the commissioners have copies of my packet here somewhere. Bear with me a second. It's a small document. It's a copy of the deed and a copy of the survey of the property. But we did receive copies of comments from DLDOT in the form of a support facilities report dated May 2nd of 2012 and referencing that the traffic impact study is not recommended, that the current level of service will not change as a result of this application. The County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments on August 3rd of 2012 in a form of a memorandum referencing that the site is located in the Western Sussex Planning Area Number 4, that an individual on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the Western Sussex Planning Study will be required, that the proposed use is not in an area where the county currently has a schedule to provide sewer service, and thereby a concept plan is not required. On August 6th of 2012, the Sussex Conservation District provided comments in a form of a memorandum which references that the site contains three soil types, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sedimentation control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches are affected, and that it may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. I did receive an email received from Vincent and Christina Parado stating that they're absolutely against making any part of Bailey's Landing commercial. They're against any rezoning, conditional use of the land at this time, that the four sites for homes are all next to each other on the Broad Creek, that all four homes or building sites can be seen from their property, that they are all in close proximity to each other, and that the proposal would adversely affect the quality of life, that there is only one single lane dirt road coming in and out of Bailey's Landing, that the property in front of Bailey's Landing is owned by Jeff Hastings, and that Mr. Hastings has allowed the subdivision use of the right-of-way to their properties via a single lane road, that Mr. Hastings is concerned about the heavy traffic this proposed use would bring to this quiet area of Bethel, that they're asking DLDOT to come before County Council and comment on their findings regarding the use, that they're asking that this proposal remain public record until DLDOT and all other agencies involved submit their findings to the Council, that when they purchased this property in 1998 or 2000, they, along with Michael Hubbard and Frank Rodriguez, signed a restrictive covenant and boundary line agreements, and that Section 13 of those restrictive covenants clearly state that all the land shall be used only for single-family residential purposes. And for the record, this email was copied to Gary and Jackie Calloway, landowners in Bailey's Landing, and the Honorable Vance Phillips of County Councilman. Also received yesterday, August 8th of 2012, Lawrence Steele, the third Esquire, submitted a letter and attachments on behalf of Jeffrey Hastings, president of H&H Brand Farms Incorporated, objecting to the granting of this application and expressing concerns that the applicant's access is across said lands by a 12-foot wide woods road, which is 797 feet long. That the attachment included a letter from Mr. Hastings copies of the survey for Bailey's Landing depicting the referenced 12-foot road, and copies of two Court of Chancery documents on civil action number 1658 between H&H Farms Incorporated versus Theodore B. Simpler and Edward J. K. That one of the documents is a memorandum opinion and that the other is a final order by the injunctive relief. That the applicant's filing does not show this limited 12-foot access to her parcel, that it shows only the private interior Bailey's Landing Road, which adjoins her parcel. That this omission by her could lead the commission to believe she has a continuous 60-foot entrance right-of-way to Road 487A to be at best disingenuous. That the location, size, and limited use of the wood road was determined by the Court of Chancery per the copies submitted. That the prior owners of the applicant's parcel attempted to enlarge the 12-foot wood road to a much larger size, that the court found that they could not, and the road was ordered returned to its original 12-foot width. That the order is still in effect, and that H&H Brand Farms Incorporated will not allow additional width to this 800-foot long wood road and will not allow the additional traffic across its land which the applicant's requested usage contemplates. That the 12-foot wood road is barely functional for one vehicle's use. That two-way traffic cannot operate within its width. That any emergency requiring fire trucks, EMS, ambulance, or other similar first responders trying to pass each other over in opposite directions will cause chaos. And that to access the wood road, you must use Road 487A, Beagle Club Road, which, although paved, is a poorly maintained, unmarked, twisting county lane, or country lane, excuse me. That Road 487A contains many turns and curves from the north, from Route 78, and narrow, unmarked streets from the east, from the town of Bethel. That the streets in Bethel are clearly not designed to accommodate 50 to 100 vehicles full of partygoers going to and from a reception. And that Road 487A is woefully inadequate for the intended use, and requesting that the application be denied. And that's all that, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you.
I have a question. One, if I could get a copy of that, Mr. Lank, when you get a chance. Is the Woods Road they're referring to, is that the name of the road, or is that just the description of Bailey's
Landing? The Woods Road is the 12-foot section that crosses Hastings property, and then you start with the road that's references Bailey's Landing Drive.
So Bailey's Landing Drive and the Woods Road, I guess, connect with each other to provide
the
access.
One and the same, except that the portion across Hastings for H&H Brand Farms is only 12 foot.
Okay.
And when you get into the subdivision, it's 60 foot.
Gotcha. The way you were, I heard that, it sounded like there was actually like two separate means of access to this property.
No, basically, the Wood Road on Hastings or H&H Brand Farms, and then when you get to the property, it becomes 60 foot right away for Bailey's Landing.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Yes, sir, are you representing this application this evening?
My name is Mr. Hope, Joseph Hope. Okay. Yeah, the husband of Jackie Tyson Hope.
Uh-huh.
And I was here just to come by to see what would be the representative for this option, but most likely it means denied.
Well, that's why we're having this public hearing, sir. That decision certainly hasn't been made yet. We'd like to hear from you as to what your intentions are for the property and what you want to do.
Well, our intention was to keep wedding receptions, birthday parties, or retirement parties, things like that.
Okay, well, let me see if any of the other commissioners have any questions for you.
Just before you do that, Mr. Chairman, just so you know, you have an opportunity to make a record in support of your application this evening. So if there's anything that you'd like to state to the commission that would justify a decision in your favor, now's your chance to make that record. I just want to make that clear. So now's your shot. In other words, if you want to say anything to the commission to support your application,
And before you start, I missed it. Could I get your first name?
Joseph Hope.
Thank you.
No, that's about all I have.
Okay. All right, then.
We'll start with Mr. Ross.
Well, to fill in some gaps, I guess, how many guests do you anticipate would be the maximum number of guests that you may have in a function?
You're thinking about what, 30?
30?
Between 30, yeah, 35.
30 or 35. And that's individuals?
Yes, sir.
And do you anticipate that there might be alcoholic beverages consumed on the property?
Well, we would not.
You would not allow?
No.
And that would include if any individual brought their own on the property, then you would ask them to leave. Is that correct? Did I
yes,
hear
sir.
That correctly? And do you have any idea of when you would you know, your hours that you would offer this service?
It would be like 4 in the afternoon to about 11 at night, 11 to 12.
To midnight. And then I guess regarding entertainment, music?
Yeah, maybe, yes.
Bands, a record player,
maybe
radio.
A record player.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm about out.
Okay. All right. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Hope, as well as Mr. Robertson, and just reminding that what this commission does is we make a recommendation and that there's a second public hearing on your application before County Council on September the 11th, at which you or a representative will have to appear. A couple of the questions that I have, I'll start with one for, I guess, Mr. Lank. If this banquet facility were approved, would there be approvals from the state fire marshal that would come into play? Is there something about a public gathering hall or...
We haven't heard whether we're having it outdoors or if it's going to be indoors or not. That's
okay.
One question we need to resolve. If
there's
any buildings involved that are going to have public activity, it's going to have to go through most all the agencies.
I see.
Fire marshal, especially for number of people allowed in the size of the facility and exit signage and all that type of thing.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lang. Mr. Hope, approximately how big is the facility?
It's about 8,000 square feet.
Okay. Would you anticipate that your gatherings, your retirement parties, birthdays, or whatnot, would they take place inside the structure?
Inside the structure. But
they'd be inside?
Yeah, part of downstairs.
Okay. So with that said, then you heard what our director said. If this were acted on favorably, then you'd have to go before other agencies. Such as the fire marshal. Do you have anticipate having cooking facilities on the site?
No, I would.
No.
They will bring their own meals and so on.
So it'd be catered or
right, yes, sir.
Carry in? Yes. Is the inside of the dwelling, does it have enough sanitary facilities to handle traffic of both male and female?
The house carry 8 bathrooms.
Wow, okay. And parking, how do you think you would handle the parking if you had 12 to 20 to 30 vehicles coming onto the site? Do you have an adequate cleared area?
Yeah, that's about 6 acres.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you would have an area delineated on your site plan for parking? And that also would be able to help someone that had a wheelchair.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Mr. Hope. Mr. Chairman.
Burton.
All my questions have been answered. Great job.
Mr. Lank?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
No questions.
All right, sir. We thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application.
I'll
Okay.
Thank you. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1939, Jacqueline Tyson Hope? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1939?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Chair recognizes Mr. Schrader, who is representing someone in the opposition.
Thank you. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I represent Wright Properties, which is the adjacent property owner to the proposed site of the, I'm not quite sure what to call the facility, so I'll borrow from Mr. Smith. I believe Banquet Hall is what he used. But for what it's worth, we do represent the adjacent property owner. I think a number of the comments that were made either by Mr. Steele on behalf of his client, H&H, or by the Paradas are applicable to some of the things that I want to say, and I may elaborate further, and I apologize for being redundant, but I think it will help the commission understand the circumstances under which this application is being made. First off, there's little or no reference to the fact that this property is adjacent to the Broad Creek, even though it is identified in the advertising as being on the south side of Bailey's Landing Drive, which is the 60-foot right-of-way in front of this property and 0.6 miles west of Sussex County Road 487, also known as Beagle Club Road. It is that 0.6 miles, which is the subject matter of the litigation that seemed to interest Mr. Robertson, and we'll come back to that in just a minute because I have a couple things to give Mr. Robertson that may be of help to him in this application or explaining it to the commission. I think most importantly, we're looking at an agricultural residential district that's somewhere close to Bethel, Delaware, which is one of the historic jewels of Sussex County. And this proposed use, if we use the word spot zoning too often around here, particularly on the east side of the county, at least on the west side of the county, this clearly is spot zoning. There is nothing in the immediate vicinity of this property that anywhere approximates the banquet facilities that are applied for, and there are no commercial activities anywhere nearby. This is a single-family dwelling that was built or almost built for a person who had a domestic relations problem. The property had to be sold in order to satisfy that problem, and while it was intended to be an 8,000-square-foot house with 8 bathrooms, if I heard Mr. Hope correctly, it was not intended to be a banquet hall for weddings, receptions, or retirement parties. I appreciate the fact that Mr. Hope is perhaps a novice to these proceedings and perhaps is uninformed as to the burdens that he carries with him when he comes here, but coming here with no proposed preliminary site plan showing any of the minimum mandatory requirements that this commission would require in order to understand parking, to understand the slope of the land, to understand what drainage conditions may or may not exist on site, what the other uses are in the property, is something that becomes a fatal flaw, because as a conditional use, a preliminary site plan is required by the zoning code, and if this were to be adopted and had one been submitted, then that site plan would have been an approved preliminary site plan. That has not occurred here. Mr. Hope has answered some questions that I had concerning the number of guests, whether or not alcohol would be served, whether or not there would be loud noise or music, and the size of the facility. Mr. Hope also spoke to whether or not there would be a kitchen and said there would not, and there would be catering. However, catering does require the necessity of having the ability to heat food or refrigerate food, and caterers do get gathering licenses in order to provide alcohol to the celebrants of either the wedding, the retirement, or what other matter takes place. Not that you have regulatory authority over the sale of alcohol, but it does become important as one of the considerations that you must give in reviewing this application. I would also point out that if there is an on-site septic system, it was probably not designed to handle 30 people. We have no record here that indicates that it was, nor do we have any record that indicates whether or not it's even adequate to handle the gathering of a catering facility rather than any cooking kitchen. Similar, we have nothing that addresses the issue of water supply and as to whether or not it's adequate for that larger crowd, plus the staff that will support it. And I would point out in response to an interrogation about fire marshal, the fire marshal is going to take a great interest in this particular project. And not only does that go to the number of people that are on site, it is very likely that there is going to have to be a fire alarm or sprinkler system put in order to prohibit any unfortunate events by way of a fire on this facility. And if that is the case, it's likely that there will be some storage tank in order to have a minimum capacity and water pressure for the support of the fire suppression system. That, I think, is one of the four agencies I think you all would have liked to have heard from tonight. Typically, we see applications where agencies are contacted in advance of the application so that when the applicant comes in or the applicant's representative, you have some sense as to what the regulatory scheme is. Fire marshal is important because of this gathering and the potential for fire and the absence of adequate access to the property. The health department is important because of the potential for kitchen facilities. DNREC is going to take a great interest in this project because of the potential for stormwater management issues, surface drainage going into the Broad Creek and other issues. And same would also be true of the Soil Conservation District. They're going to take an interest. The streets, and in particular the facilities report from DLTOT, are somewhat confusing because they refer to the public highway. They don't refer to the private road or the 60-foot right-of-way that appears within the subdivision. And I'm no fan of DLTOT. I think you know that. And so in trying to understand what DLTOT says, it is complicated sometimes. But I got out of this that it was their opinion that this proposed project, if it were developed under the existing or the potential conditional use, would result in 19 vehicles per hour coming and going from the site back out to the public highway. And this appears in pages 1 and 2 of the evaluation request. If Mr. Hope is correct, and there's only going to be 30 guests and any number of support staff, 19 seems extremely high to me. But nonetheless, 19 is a lot, even if it's only 19 vehicles per day, for two reasons. One of them is that they're going to either come to this site through Vine Street within historic Bethel, which has no real regulatory scheme of traffic and doesn't provide adequate streetage for 19 vehicles. And in the alternative, you're looking at a 12-foot dirt road followed by a 60-foot right-of-way with a dirt road to help facilitate 30 people. So I'm not saying that 19 vehicles per hour is right, but I am saying that at least signals to you that there is a concern about the traffic impact of a project such as this, both on Bethel and on the dirt lanes that are adjacent to this property. As I've pointed out to you, there's no similar activities within the immediate area, whether commercial uses or not. There's no record of support from any of the adjacent properties. And I would point out to you that the subdivision in question by Mr. Hubbard was intended to be residential, not intended to be commercial. Tonight is the first time I've heard of a restrictive covenant, and I'm not sure that it was ever signed or recorded, but apparently the Paradas think that there was such a covenant, and perhaps further research on the matter by Mr. Steele will tell us what is going on in terms of that restrictive covenant. What is clear is that the deed that was given to Mr. Hope and the members of his family indicates that it is subject to a plot plan. There is a plot plan of record which indicates that there is a 12-foot road. And I'm going to provide to each of you at this point a copy of that plot plan, or at least a portion of that plot plan, and a portion of the, and I'll give it to Mr. Abbott to start a circulation with, and perhaps Mr. Robertson can handle it. But what you're going to see is that there is 80 feet of a 12-foot private road that runs from the public highway back to Beagle Club Road or Bailey's Landing Road. That was the subject matter of the litigation that interests Mr. Robertson. It appears both on the aerial photo, and if you go to the right-hand side of that aerial photo, when it gets to you, you'll see two chicken houses, and you'll see a road that has a bit of an S-curve to it. It's an inverted S-curve. And coming out of that S-curve at the bottom, or at the southernmost point, you'll see a road that runs along the edges of the woods until it gets to a point where it intersects and goes into the woods. Mr. Robertson, it's called a woods road because that is the descriptive word. It's an adjective. It's not the name of the road. But it is from that point where it intersects the woods back to the southern curve of the public highway that is the subject matter of this litigation. If you follow the unpaved road through the woods and over to a point, well, it appears as the second house from the left, and let me point at my copy. This is the subject site right here where there's a little loopy driveway that appears in the aerial photo. And as you can see, that is right on the Broad Creek, and it is a significant distance from the public highway. What is important about this is, one, the position that Mr. Hubbard takes, or not Mr. Hubbard, but Mr. Hastings and H&H takes, that there will be no further expansion of that 12-foot right-of-way, even though it may carry as many as 19 cars per hour going to this proposed facility. It will be a dirt road. Secondly, while this property that belonged to Mr. Hubbard was developed as a four-lot subdivision, as a result of that, there are no covenants that require the maintenance of the 60-foot right-of-way, nor of the construction of any improvements that would meet the subdivision requirements of the county zoning code. So it's going to be a dirt road until somebody sells the fifth lot, and then all Dickens is going to break loose when somebody's going to have to come in and bond, pay, improve, and construct the 60-foot portions to get back to a 12-foot road. Because the 12-foot road will never be more than the 12-foot road. The last point that I would like to point out to you this evening is that under the comprehensive development plan of this county, this area, and in particular this site, are located in a low-density area. That means that within our comprehensive plan, agricultural activities and single-family detached homes are encouraged. If there are to be business uses, they are to be in crossroads type facilities, perhaps like Bethel, except that it has its own zoning, and are intended to support the needs only of those two uses, that is agricultural activities or single family detached homes. And we often see something such as seed stores or perhaps small grocery stores as being symbolic of what is permitted. The second point that I would like to make to you is that under the state's strategies map for spending, this is in a level four. This particular loose use is not particularly encouraged by the state's spending strategy, and in fact, no spending for water, sewer, or transportation infrastructure will be made by any public body under that particular strategy. And those, in fact, are three of the biggest reasons why this project should be not denied. There is no record of support for adequate water facilities for this project. There is no record that supports the conclusion that there is adequate sewer or wastewater treatment for this site. And as far as transportation infrastructure is concerned, none exists other than that which appears either in the aerial photo or on a portion of the plot book 111. For those reasons, and because there is no record that helps you do so with this particular project, you are not able to propose a recommendation to the council in support of the application. You cannot propose conditions. It still remains unclear as to whether or not there will be any overnight guests or how many guests will be permitted to spend overnight here. And you have no early comments from any of the regulatory agencies that would help you make those decisions. Thus, for that reason, on behalf of Wright Properties, my client, I ask that you deny or make a recommendation of denial of this particular application. Thank you. And I'll answer any questions if you have any.
Apparently not.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone else on the commission have any questions? Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening or to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. And we will recess for 5 minutes.